Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see everyone here this morning. It's good to hear the conversation that's going on. Receive this call to worship from Psalms 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the power of the foe and has gathered them from the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty. Their spirits failed within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He rescued them from their distress. He led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. For he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. Give thanks to the Lord for his faithfulness. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love and your mercy that you shower down on us, that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the provisions that you give us, feeding us when we are hungry, watering water for our thirsty souls, Lord. Receive our worship of you this morning, for that is why we are gathered here. Draw us into a deeper relationship with you, Lord. Let us see you at work in our daily lives. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I welcome you all here again. Just a wonderful, bright, sunny day outside, which I'm thankful for after all the rain we've been having. So I just hope that floods in here and brings joy and sunshine to each of us. So as we start this next song, I just invite you to stand and worship with us, and we're also going to take the offering during this first song.
Amazing love. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day that we can come together to worship you, to learn from you, to be encouraged by you, and to be sent by you. Father, we just pray for this time together. Be with the worship team as they lead us in our time of worship. Be with Pastor Tony as he brings us our children's message. Be with Brother Carl as he brings our sermon today. We pray a blessing on Lauren as we commission her out today. And we thank you and praise you for all the gifts you've given us, the time, the talent, as well as possessions you've given us. We give a portion back for the work of your church and for the missions, the sewing circle, the men and women's ministries, and the leadership training fund. And we thank you again for all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Filled with you. Calling on the Holy Spirit.
Lord, we just stand here in your presence this morning and invite you to fill every part of us and clean out the corners. It's like spring cleaning, that it gets all the junk and the dirt from the cold and the winter in our hearts out, so that light can shine into the corners and every part of us can be filled with you to emit light out into the community, into others around us, into discipleship relationships, into generations below us, generations older than us, that it would just create a community in the church and a community for people in the community and people that don't know you to come and join. Just pray as we learn about interacting with others and how to have healthy relationships this morning, that you would convict us of areas that we need to grow so that we can serve you in an unhindered way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good morning, how are you guys doing? Did you do anything fun this week? No? Yes, what did you do that was fun? What's that? A new dirt bike trail. That sounds like that would be fun and maybe anxiety filling for your parents, maybe. What did you do that was fun this week?
So I went to my grandma's house
So you went to your grandmother's house and you had a lot of fun there. That's good. That's fun when we get to go to family and enjoy time with them. So what is this? Flashlight. Yeah, what powers this little flashlight? A battery, yes. So what happens if you take the batteries out of a flashlight? It doesn't work. There's no power there. What happens when your batteries go dead? What do you usually do with them? You change them out. You throw them away, right? Because they're dead. They don't work anymore. Maybe you have rechargeable ones. I know every night I have to take my phone out and plug it in, because if I don't, it'll go dead. It has a rechargeable battery in there. Did you know that we are like rechargeable batteries? We can become empty and we need to be filled up again. Elijah, he stood on Mount Carmel. He had just won a victory over many false prophets, and God had done an amazing thing, and his life was threatened. So he wandered out in the desert, and he laid down under a tree, and he was laying there. And listen to what it says in the Bible. Suddenly an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." Then he looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread, baked over hot stones, and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord returned for a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." So he got up and ate, and he drank, and then on the strength from the food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God, and he entered a cave and spent the night. So for us, we get recharged by eating food, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get to eat some really good stuff, maybe some desserts and things like that. Our body gets fueled up and recharged and renourished. But what do we do when we need to be recharged spiritually? What can we do to be recharged spiritually? Learn more about God. Yes. How do we do that? How can we learn more about God? By reading the Bible. Yes, that is an excellent way to be spiritually recharged when our batteries are empty. Our spiritual batteries are empty. We can be recharged by reading the Bible. We can sing praise songs to God. We can pray. These are all things that recharge us spiritually. So when our physical batteries are running low, we eat food. When our spiritual batteries are running low, we need to eat that food that God gives us in His Word and through different things that we can do in prayer and in song. So I want to pray for you guys, and then you may have a snack and head back to your seat. There's also an extra gift that someone gave us in that bag. You may take one of those. So should we pray? Heavenly Father, bless these children. I just pray that you would just let them hear your voice. I pray that you would draw each one to know you as their Lord and Savior. I pray that you protect them in the coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys may have a snack and an extra gift, and then head back to your seats. So our guest this morning is Carl Edwards. He's not a stranger to us here at Bowmansville. He is the director of development at CrossNet Ministries in New Holland, and I'd like to invite Carl forward, and I'll have a prayer for him. He graduated from Lancaster Bible College. Carl is passionate about coming alongside of the community and meeting needs in Jesus' name. And I got that from their website, as you probably put it in there, or gave it to someone to put in there. He loves sports, grilling, spending time with his family. I'll allow Carl to tell a little bit more about himself. So will you join me in prayer, Carl? And will you join me as well? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you fill Carl with a boldness of your spirit this morning. I just pray that you would open our ears so that we can hear the message that you have given Carl. Just fill Carl with your peace and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings amen. To you.
Thank you.
There's a water bottle
thank
if you,
you
need
appreciate
one.
Appreciate that. Are there any extra snacks
yes.
up there?
Yes.
Just messing. I shouldn't.
You're giving the message. You earned
yeah.
a snack.
I need so some of that. You can I need to be refueled as well. Great to see you all today. It's great to see familiar faces. I think it, oh, there's Pastor Larry. What's up, friend? Good to see you. Hello. I came for you. Oh, yeah. Good to see you all. Before I begin, thank you for the introduction. I've been at CrossNet 8 years, which is crazy to think about that. Time has flown. They say time flies when you're having fun, and God's been good to my family. I say this every time. I am married. She is a real person. I know you have never met her or seen her. She, too, is in full-time ministry as a kid ministry director where we attend church, LCBC Ephrata. We have two beautiful kids. Probably the first time I came here, they were extremely young there. My daughter is about to be 12 years old. And my son is going to be 10 next month. So our family is growing, and it's a really exciting season. As you can see, I serve at CrossNet Ministries. So before I share about who we are and what we do, just a quick update before we get into our message, I simply want to say thank you. Thank you for your continued partnership over many years, your generosity to CrossNet. Our goal is to be an extension of the church, to partner extremely well, to give you as the body of Christ some tangible ways to serve and meet the needs of the community, to come alongside of neighbors, but also to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I just want to say thank you for your continued support. What I want to do really briefly is to do three things when it comes to CrossNet. I want to celebrate a few things with you. I want to share with you some things that we are seeing in the community, and then some further ways that you can partner with us. If I speak too fast or you don't remember some things, I did bring some updated CrossNet brochures and some statistic flyers and ways to get involved. I'm pointing in this direction because they're behind me on the table by the door, so feel free to grab some of those things if you want to learn more about who we are as CrossNet. So a couple of things we're celebrating. Some of this might sound similar because we've been celebrating it for a long time. So the first thing, if you remember, CrossNet had a very large capital campaign to purchase and renovate a warehouse building on Franklin Street. It has been a long journey, probably a two-year process from where we started to where we are to date. The celebration is that I believe we're getting closer. Our plans have been submitted to the borough. We're in a bidding process with some contractors and vendors, and we are hoping that we get to break ground very, very soon. The number or the date we're putting out there is June 1 is that we are pursuing to break ground. So we are really excited. It's been a long journey, so please continue to pray with us. The second thing, I think we've talked about this before, is that our community has a very high number of individuals or families experiencing homelessness. CrossNet has a few different housing programs. We have some emergency housing, affordable housing, transitional housing, and the transitional housing program is called Pathways to Housing. 12 to 18 month program where a family or someone experiencing homelessness is able to be in this program. They're working with social workers, they have a mentor, they're working to increase their financial resources so that by the time they graduate, they're able to afford fair market rent within our community. So we have about 12 units that CrossNet has, and right now we are in the middle of renovating another unit, so a family should be able to move in there by the summer. But the thing that we're celebrating is last year we had two graduates of that program. I don't think I would have shared that with you, so that's new. Last year, and so in 2023, we had two graduates out of that program, and within a month, those apartments were already filled, and they're new participants in that. So we're celebrating that. Some things that we are seeing, things that are often topics of conversation in our organization are three quick things. Housing would probably be in the top three, this continued issue with individuals experiencing homelessness. I believe there are 50 individuals we know within the Elanco community, the Garden Spot School District, that we know that are homeless right now, which is a very high number. Mental health continues to be one of the things that often comes up, individuals needing some more mental support. And the last one, I think I've shared this with you before, and I don't mean it to sound silly, but I think it's very real. We have people that need relationship, just safe, trusting relationship. Every single week, I could probably say every single day, there are people that call in or stop into our office. I am sure there are significant needs attached to those individuals, but when they come in, they are coming for a relationship. They're coming for someone to hear them, to see them, to know them, to talk to them, to share about something going on in their lives. So I think about our community, I look at our community, and yes, our organization is partnering with businesses, churches, and individuals to meet needs, but one of those significant needs is relationship. And how do we do that? How can we do that? So I think it's something for us to ponder, to pray through, and how can you come along. Side of a few things that you all can do to partner with our organization or continue partnering with our organization. Think about relationship. We need mentors, people to come alongside of youth and adults. So often when we think of mentoring relationship, you think of an older, wiser person and a younger person. CrossNet has mentoring for anyone. We have many adult relationships, adult paired relationships. So the first one would be mentors. We provide training, assistance. You're not in this alone for that. The second is transportation. We help our families, participants, get to educational appointments, doctor's appointments, grocery store appointments, food pantry appointments, and we're looking for more transportation drivers. Again, training would be given to you. You do not need to use your own vehicle. CrossNet has three vehicles that a volunteer would be able to use. The crazy thing is one of them is actually down the road at St. John's. So if you live out here, you don't have to go all the way to CrossNet. You can pick a van up here for a participant that might live in this community. And lastly, meals for our youth center. Every day that our youth center is open, we provide a hot meal for our students. There are probably 8 churches on a monthly basis that are bringing meals to our youth center. And I know our youth staff will love some more support. So maybe you have small groups in your church or Sunday school classes. Maybe you would like to provide a meal for our youth center. I would love to talk to you about that, or you can reach out to our office. So just a quick update. I think I have pictures in here, too. I do a really bad job advancing slides, but this is who we are as an organization. We exist to offer help and hope in the name of Jesus by empowering people within the Elanco community. How we live out our mission, how we flesh out our mission, are through those 4 pillars you see on the screen, or 4 program focuses: youth programs, community programs, food and nutrition, and social services. That's who we are as an organization. Then I put some fun pictures up there. So this picture of me is probably outdated. So this is when I was still working in the youth center, and those 2 young men in that picture are seniors in high school right now. So I should update my slides, but that's okay. So just to give you a quick snapshot of who we are as an organization. What time do I have? Till 11:30? Is that right? 11? Okay. No? No one laughed at that, but it's okay. So, friends, let's pray together and we'll open God's word. Heavenly Father, I pray that at this moment, I put myself behind and you come forward. I pray that I decrease and you increase. I'm thankful for the body of Christ. Thankful that we were gathered here, the freedom that we have to gather and to open God's word. We dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for allowing me to be here, sharing a little about an organization that I love and care for. It's been amazing to be there for 8 years and see significant life change. But that life change comes through the work of Jesus in the hearts and lives of people. And one of the things I love to do in my role is I get the opportunity to come to partnering churches. I'm out probably about once a month, being able to either give a crossing update or break open God's word with you all. So today, we're going to be in Numbers 11. You're welcome to turn there. The first passage we're going to look at is in chapter 4, but Numbers 11 is where we're going to spend our time. And we're going to have the message title is called The Land Between. If you're a note taker, you're welcome to write that down. I did not coin this phrase. The premise of our message today actually came from a book called The Land Between by a pastor and author, Jeff Mannion, out in the Midwest. So what is the land between? Again, we're going to spend time in Numbers 11 to talk about what that means. But the land between in the book, he defines the land between as seasons of uncertainty, a season of questioning, a season of transition, or a season of frustration. I know that you are in the midst of this series where you're talking about conflict resolution. So even as you think about the land between in the series you are in, the land between could be a season of unresolved conflict that is burdening you. As we just went through the Easter season a few weeks ago, right? Another way to think about the land between is this. The land between is the day two, the day after Jesus was dead, right? As you put on the lens of the disciples, can you imagine what they were feeling the night after Jesus was on that cross? Think about uncertainty, questioned, being burdened, not knowing what in the world just happened. This person that you believe was the Messiah, who did all of these miracles, is now gone. The land between. And as we have this unique seat to be years removed for that, we know that it was literally the land between because of the resurrection. We can also define the land between in real life scenarios that you and I face every single day. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be a recent diagnosis, words that you never thought you would hear a doctor say. It could be a season of debt or financial hardship. It could be a divorce. The land between, simply put, friends, again, is a really hard season. It's a messy season of the unknown. And as you're going to see in Numbers chapter 11, in the Old Testament, the land between was more than just a state of being. It was actually a physical location. And you can see on your screens the land between. I think there's a pointer up here. Sorry for this side, but I'll point over here. So the Old Testament, the land between was actually this here, the Sinai Desert. If you know geography, I had to Google some of this, right? But in the Bible, this is Egypt. Right over here, this is where Israel was enslaved for many, many, many years. Sinai Desert is right in here, and over here is the Promised Land, right in there, all right? This is the land between. The land between, again, between two destinations, slavery and freedom, the land between. So in the Old Testament, this is a physical location. So again, a little bit of a context to what we're going to be reading today. Israel was enslaved. Moses was called by God to liberate Israel. His people. And as you know, Moses did not want this job, right? He pushed back at it. Moses went to Pharaoh and he pleaded with Pharaoh to let his people go. After some back and forth, the Israelite people were finally free to enter into the Promised Land. The Israelites received some consequences from God because of what? Fear and lack of trust. And they didn't enter the Promised Land, so they were left to wander and journey again through this wilderness section for 40 years. So we pick up our story in Numbers 11, all right? The Israelite people have been wandering just for a few years at this point. And as you and I think about desert and dry, barren land, there's probably some imagery that comes to your mind. There's imagery that comes to my mind. We can think of cactuses, right? You remember those old Western where tumbleweed is going through. So again, you're probably thinking of a scorpion. I remember when I shared this message with my son, he said scorpion comes to my mind when he thinks of a desert. But the main idea is that it's a dry and a barren land and not a lot grows there. Not a lot can be successful in that environment. But what I hope to communicate today is that there are a few things that grow in the land between that do grow in this season. So friends, go ahead. Numbers 11, verses 4 to 6 is where we will read first. Verse 4, then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain, oh, for some meat. It's probably best as you hear me read this, as you're reading this, you want to read this in a really, really whiny voice, okay? Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all of the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic, all that we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is manna. So friends, the land between is not fertile ground, but there are some things that grow there. And the first thing you see in 4 through 6 is complaint. But you have to remember, we are picking up this story in the midst of chaos. There's this uprising, this frustration. The people are all up in arms. And if you listen to what they are saying, listen, read these words. They would rather be back in slavery than eating manna. Do you see that? They would rather be captives and eating cucumbers of fish than be free eating manna. You know, the Hebrew translation for manna is, what is it? What is this stuff? And they're eating, what is it, every single day. You might not think much grows in the land between, but complaint grows in the land between. Has that ever been you? Right? Have you ever had this season of frustration or complaining? Have you caught yourself where you are lacking gratefulness or gratitude? We completely ignore the blessings that God gives us. We completely ignore the good that is in our lives, and we pursue complaint. We pursue frustration. So where does complaint come from? I think it's pretty simple. I think complaint comes from two things. It comes from entitlement, and it comes from pride. Entitlement and pride. But as we continue to read, complaint isn't the only thing that grows in the land between. I want you to go, just skip a few more verses down, and we're going to go to 15, and then we're going to go back up. Numbers 11, 15, okay? And again, this is some serious words that Moses is saying. Verse 15, he says, if this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me the misery. Intense. Intense, hard, hard words. But let's go back up. What is Moses even talking about? Go ahead and look at verse, where do we want to go? Verse 11. He says, Moses says, what did I do to deserve the burden of all the people? Did I give birth to them? Did I bring them into the world? Why did you tell me to carry them in my arms like a mother carries my baby, a baby? And he skips down and he gets to this point of significant burnout. And he says, God, take me from this earth. Take me from this earth. So the land between is fertile ground for complaint. The land between is also fertile ground for meltdown. Complete meltdown. Another way you can say that is burnout. So you got to remember, Moses did not want this job at all. He didn't want it. He has people complaining about the meals that they're eating every single day. And again, like I can't take my kids complaining about one meal, let alone three meals every single day for years. Friends, this actually happened on Thursday night. I remember. I often make dinner in our house, and my wife bought like sausage and peppers or something, so I was going to make that, but I like to like put a little twist. You know, I don't like the same thing over and over again, so I try to be creative. So I called my kids down and said, hey, I'm going to try this. And they're like, no, what? Why, Dad? No. I was like, I'm still making it. You're going to like it. 30 minutes later, Dad, this is the best meal you've ever made. Like, it's, what? The complaint. But they actually fell in love with it. So think about Moses, right? Hearing the complaints of the people every single day for so many years. You also have to think, as Moses is leading these people, food isn't the only thing that they're he's processing. There's family disputes. Someone's not cleaning up after their camel or their horse. Someone's kids are running through another person's tent. He's carrying a significant burden, right? Have you ever been to that place? I know I have, where you're at wit's end. Maybe your response isn't as extreme as Moses's. Maybe it is where you've just had enough. Meltdown takes place, friends, when our burdens or the margin in our life is out of whack. It takes place when you and I have our schedules so packed full, we don't have time for the things that are important. Pastor Tony just talked about this, right? When we need to refuel and be filled, whether it's physically, spiritually, or emotionally. Burnout and meltdown happens when the levers in our life are out of sorts. When our emotional, physical, and spiritual boundaries are neglected, it is easy to get to a place of meltdown. It is easy to get to a place of burnout. So care for your mental health, care for your physical health, care for your spiritual health, get rest, see a counselor, get outside. Friends, when I leave here today, my family and I will be outside soaking up the sun until it goes down. I've missed it so much. I've been so ready for the sun to be out. Go outside, get vitamin D. Care for your physical health. Pursue that sanctification daily of being in God's Word. Surround yourself with people that will encourage your spirit. Serve. Serve people. Serving helps us practice the idea of gratitude. Serving helps us think more about other people than it does about ourselves. So again, friends, there's a lot that grows in the land between. We see complaint and frustration, we see meltdown, and we see burnout. But there's more that grows in the land between. So let's go to verse 16 and 17, and then we're going to look at verse 31 and 32. Verse 16 and 17, the Lord said to Moses, gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders in Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle, stand for them to stand there with you. I will come down and talk with you there. I will take some of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the spirit upon them also. They will be able to bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone. Again, let's skip ahead quickly to verse 31 and 32. 31 says this, now the Lord sent a wind that brought a quail from the sea and let them fall all around the camp. For miles in every direction, there was quail flying about 3 feet above the ground. So the people went out, caught all the quail that day and throughout the night and all the next day too. No one gathered less than 50 bushels. They spread the quail all around the camp to dry. So as we think about the land between, it is fertile ground for meltdown, it is fertile ground for complaint, but friends, there's also some positivity. The land between is fertile ground for provision. God heard the cries of Moses, and he provided what? He provided leaders. He sent leaders to serve alongside of Moses. He provided other leaders to help shoulder that burden so Moses wouldn't have to do it alone. As you are aware, we were not created to live life alone. We are significant relational beings. That has nothing to do with you're an extrovert or an introvert. We are wired for relationship. We are wired for community. That's why the body of Christ is such a beautiful thing and a biblical mandate to have fellowship. Relationships, to many of us, is almost as important as actual currency. Right? Relationships help us navigate the world. I remember when I was in my master's work at LBC in organizational leadership, there was a book, I wish I had it with me, Leadership, and there was a whole chapter dedicated in this book for work friends. For like work friends, so that when you go to work, you should have a relationship at work, someone that you can confide in, that you can talk to. This is a leadership development book that has a safe person at work to be able that you can trust and navigate through those boundaries. As you think about work, right, you spend more waking hours at work than you do at home. So having safe, trusting relationships is significantly important. God heard the cries of his people, and he provided, right? He provided quail to the point of where the people got sick. If you keep reading in this context, right, there's a lot more to the story. It wasn't just God provided the quail. These people actually had so much of it, they got sick. So some consequences to complaining. So just got to be careful with that. God always provides. It may not look the way we want it or be in the time frame that we want it, but he provides the needs. He doesn't provide just what we want, but he provides what we need. So think about your own life. Do you remember, or do you practice remembering those moments where God showed up, where God was present? In those seasons of uncertainty and frustration and complaint and meltdown, do you remember God's presence? And it's hard for me to process that sometimes because The fact is that God was there and present the whole time. It was that I was missing him. I wasn't paying attention. So maybe you are like me. I'm not putting that on you. But maybe you're like me. You just miss when he's there, and you miss when he is present. I've shared this, I think, with you before, but my wife does an amazing job. She journals everything. She writes everything down. Every anniversary, we were married July 10th, 2010, 7-10-10. Every anniversary, Mary pulls out one of those journals from the past year, and she shares with me God's provision through the craziness of our lives, the craziness of the previous year. And it is an absolute reminder of how good our God is. Those times where we wanted to throw in the towel, or I wanted to throw in the towel, she wanted to throw in the towel, God was present in our midst. And she does a beautiful job writing those down. You and I have talked, I think the last time I was here, we talked about Judges. If we look at the archives, I think we talked about Judges. And you all know the history, the story of the Israelites, or this roller coaster of in sin and out of sin, and God provides leaders, and they go, just roller coaster of emotion. I want you to turn to one more passage. It's not on the slides or anything like that, but one more passage, Psalm 136. Beautiful passage, and why it's so important to remember where the Israelites failed often was their lack of remembering. Their lack of remembering their story. The lack of remembering how God provided for their ancestors, how he cared for them. Often the truths of God would skip generations, and Israel will find themselves being back enslaved. Psalm 136. We're not going to read all of this, but what I want to just point out is just this practice that the psalmist had to write down the history and write down the faithfulness. Again, 1-3, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his faithful love endures forever. I memorized this as a kid, and I memorized it in King James, and it says, his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his faithful love endures forever. Skip down to verse 11. He brought Israel out of Egypt. He acted with a strong hand and a powerful arm. Verse 13, give thanks to him who parted the Red Sea. Again, this is the context, right, to Numbers 11. He led the Israelites safely through, for his faithful love endures forever. He hurled Pharaoh and his armies into the Red Sea. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. Friends, it is often really hard to see God's provision when you are in the midst of the land between. It is hard. I'm with you. I know it is. But the provision is there. We need to pay attention to it. So again, I don't know if you're in the land between right now as we try to define that. I don't know what season you're in. I also know that your land between is going to look a lot different than my land between. So are you in a season of complaining? Are you in a season of meltdown or whatever that season looks like for you? I'm not sure. But as we think about that map that we saw, right, we think about that geography, it would not take you 40 years to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. It wouldn't take you 40 years. The Israelite people were in a position, and in this position of wandering for 40 years because they did not trust. They didn't trust God. The people needed to learn trust. They needed to be reminded of their source for everything, so there were some consequences to their actions. The land between is fertile ground for complaint, for meltdown, for burnout. It's fertile ground for God's provision, but it also is fertile ground for this, trust and growth. What dispels complaint and meltdown? Trust. These hard seasons can produce fruit in our lives if we allow them to, if we lean into the vine. I remember this story from one of the global leadership summits a few years ago. One of the speakers interviewed the coach for the national Jamaican track and field team. If you know the Olympics, the Jamaican team wins a lot. They're very fast. They're very good. So the speaker interviewed this coach, and he went and kind of like documented it through film, and he's sharing pictures and videos of this training facility, friends, and it was pretty run down. There was no track. There were just dirt paths all around this training facility. And we're talking about the Jamaican national track and field team. And as the coach was talking and the speaker interviewed him, he said these two things. He said, first, a performance center should not be built for comfort. A performance center should not be built for comfort. He said this, comfort produces laziness, it produces entitlement, and it produces complacency. This is what the coach shared. Wow. Wow. So as I think about the land between, as I think about our lives are often not built for comfort, but we try our best to build them for comfort, right? We try to avoid anything that would challenge or be hard for us. But as I think about our faith journey, if you and I want to get the best out of our faith journey, we have to lean into these hard seasons. We have to. So what does this mean for us? Let me kind of wrap some of this up. What does this mean for us? What is keeping you from trusting? What is keeping you from trusting? Let me show you a picture. Look at this really cute baby. What do you all, this is a, you all can respond to this question that I'm going to ask now, or it'll be like really awkward silence. What do you see when you see this baby? Someone can answer. What do you see when you see the baby? Looking at its mother, yes. Anyone else? I know it's really cute, so it's distracting. What else? Say it again. Contentment, yes. Trust, that's not my baby, just an FYI. So it's not one of my kids. Anyone else? What I see when I look at that picture, look at the grip that baby has on his mom's finger. Those of you who are parents know that that is the strongest grip known to man, right? There's actually a term for that. It's called the Palmer grasp reflex. Palmer grasp reflex. I remember, and some of you parents remember, if you were to hold your baby's finger, you could probably pick them off the bed, right? Or off the floor. And that baby will not let go. It is one of the strongest things. And the reason I show that picture, and it's not for the cuteness of the baby, but often, friends, that is the posture that you and I have to our lives. We hold on to our lives and our comfort with such a tight grasp. And we don't allow God to hold any of our stuff. And we hoard these things. But what I want us to understand, that trust happens, right? Trust happens in this posture. Trust happens when you and I learn to release our lives over to God. We can't have healthy relationships without trust. We need to give up control and turn things over to God. Trust and growth. The land between is fertile ground for a lot of things. Complaint, meltdown, burnout, frustration, God's provision. But it also can be fertile ground for transformational growth if we allow it to happen. I understand that many of us, myself included, we don't like these seasons. It's one of those easier said than done moments, right? You're like, Carl, I understand that, but you're not in my situation. I get it. I know. We don't like these seasons, but these seasons have the potential to produce something beautiful in us if we are aware of God's presence in them. So I ask you a couple of things, and then I'll close us in prayer. Two things. Would you, the next time you're in the season of the land between, would you lean into it? Not run away from it, but would you lean into the source, lean into the vine for comfort and for freedom? And also, would you learn from the land between? Because it's not if it's going to happen, but it's the when it's going to happen again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for just the reading of your word. Thank you for the tangible lessons that we can learn from the Israelite people, that we can learn and grow from whether it's the consequences of their actions or the joy that they had to spend time with you and to see you. God, I know that everyone here is going through something. They're all different. We've all faced the land betweens or will face the land between, but the prayer is that you would produce fruit in our lives from it, that we would learn, that we would grow, that we'd be stretched only because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we go from this place, give us opportunity to see people in our community with the perspective that Jesus has when he sees us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Pastor Tony is going to come back up.
Thank you very much, Carl. You have really given us practical things to put into practice in conflict resolution, because as they were traveling through the desert, they were in conflict, and they were dealing with that bearing each other's burdens, not complaining, building those relationships so that when conflicts do arise, we can work at them and work through them, and leaning in and pressing into God so that He can provide for what we need. I was emailing Carl back and forth, and he's like, "Do you want me to change my message?" I'm like, "No, bring the message you have." And I believe that fit very well into our conflict resolution, and that was God's message to us this morning. So thank you very much, Carl. I was truly blessed this morning. We're going to now transition to a time to pray for Lauren and send her out on her short-term mission trip that she is going on. She talked about that a few weeks ago, and so we're going to have a time of commissioning prayer this morning. So I'd like to invite Lauren to come forward, and Anna Mae, you can come forward now at this time. And as Lauren comes forward, I'd like to invite her family and the pastoral team to come forward so that we can pray over Lauren and send her, and any friends who want to come forward, and invite you forward as well. Give you that. Will you join me in prayer as we send Lauren out from our church as an ambassador of Christ? Heavenly Father, we come before you asking for you to go before Lauren and her team to protect them in their travel, in their health, protect their lives, Father. I just pray that you would move in your mighty power. Draw people into new relationships with you. I just pray that you would move in Lauren. Draw her into a deeper relationship with you. I pray that she would see you move in mighty ways. I pray that you would move in miraculous ways that she and her team can see, and that everyone around can see how you are moving. Lord, we are sending Lauren as an ambassador of Christ from this church. Lord, we are committing to spending time in prayer for Lauren as she goes. I pray that you bind the enemy's attack. Keep the enemy from doing any harm to her and her team. I just pray that you would, again, move in a mighty way as they go out. Show Lauren who you are and what you have for her and how that you have empowered her. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lauren would like to pray for us as a church, so we're going to allow Lauren to pray for us, and then you may go back to your seats and we'll continue on. So, Lauren.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, first of all, for everyone's support, not just here in this trip, but my whole life. It's a testimony of who God is, just the fact that I'm going to Kenya, and that's a huge thanks to you as a congregation for building me up and being the body of Christ. So I'd like to pray for you as well. Lord, thank you for this, for the body of Christ here at Bowmansville and the work that you're doing among us. Thank you for the gifts in each person here, and that some of us can go to places like Kenya, and some are here to preach your word, to share the good news in their area of influence. And Lord, I pray a blessing over each of them as they do that, as they support me and others going where you call us to go, and also as they carry out your will in whatever situation they're in, within their family, job, wherever they are. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and that there would be a harvest. Thank you that you are the same God, that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is within each of us, that it's not just in me going overseas for these 2 weeks, but that it's within me here and that it's within each of us here, and that we know that you are the same God. We know that you don't just perform miracles in Kenya, but you perform miracles here, and it's not about that, but it's about who you are, and we praise you for that, and just pray that this time that I have to be in Kenya would be a testimony of who you are, and that I'd be able to bring that back to this congregation, and that we would gain a better understanding of who you are and how we can move forward by your Spirit and by your power. And praise you for the community here, and just pray that you would lead us in your way everlasting, that you would lead us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song, and then we will have some announcements after that.
So I don't want to get you guys up and down too much, but we can all sing better when we're standing up. So I invite you to stand and sing this last song.
Till we meet.
again. Okay, you may be seated.
Boy, Doug, that song I've sung many times, but it hit me this morning that there's a sermon, that song could be a sermon. There's a lot of things that we face, and we don't know the outcome. Anyway, thanks. So Doug also, in our earlier our time of worship, would have said, sometimes we need to clean out our corners. And Carl said, we got to let go of stuff. Well, May 11th, we're going to have a church clean out day to prepare for the upcoming renovation. So we're looking for help, people to come and help move stuff out that we're going to keep and get rid of stuff that we're going to throw away. We have a tendency to just hang on to stuff, and we're going to have a dumpster here. If you're a person that likes to keep things and want to take it with you, you might want to come to make sure we don't throw anything away that we're not supposed to. There's a thought, too, that I believe I ran it by Colin. It's not official yet, so don't. But I think we might be marking things for like a silent auction. Like one thing that popped in mind, we have a bunch of those little chairs for kids that maybe we have too many. But I'm going to be talking with different people that are in charge of things to come up with some of that stuff that you would have an opportunity to take it for a donation. But anyway, we need help. So I encourage you to set aside that Saturday morning. I think we're going to be starting here at 8 o'clock. To help move, to help, you know, one thing that's going to happen that morning is we're going to put library books in boxes and label them like biography or whatever, try to keep them in sections, because we got to move the library over to room number 3. If you ever poked your head into room number 3, that's a storage closet. And there's probably some things that'll wind up in the open can out there. The reason I'm sure some of you have seen the container that is sitting in our parking lot. That's for things that we're going to keep, like the refrigerators down across from the kitchen. You know, we're going to move them out there that Saturday. And we're going to move as much as we can that Saturday, so the day or the weekend before Brecknock starts, we don't have as much to move. So come out. Thanks.
So while we're talking about teamwork, there's also a note in your bulletin about our carport. There's a lot of traffic that goes through our carport, especially Sunday mornings before and after church, but also some other times. I just invite you guys to all be well aware of that and watch out for children or elderly people or people that have a conversation not paying attention, whether you're driving through or walking out the door or in your way into Sunday school. I just want to make you guys aware that there's other people around our community. So let's try to keep everybody safe, not because of any particular thing that happened, but it's just good to have a reminder. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne and Doug. I do have couple announcements. I was in to visit Ella Weaver, and she is doing really well. She still has limited movement in her right hand, so I encourage you to pray for her in that, and I will pray for her about that in a minute. So you can keep her in your prayers as she is, as of now, I believe, still in the hospital. So shall we pray for her? Heavenly Father, we lift up Ella to you. We just pray that your peace and your presence would be with her. We just pray that you would bring healing to her hand, allow her to have full movement of it. We ask that your grace and mercy would be on her. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have another announcement for you. Brian and Renee Martin have gone through a personal discernment process, and they are willing to serve another term as youth pastor couple for us at Bowmansville. So this was brought to the pastoral team. They were affirmed in that role there. Then it was brought to the church council, and they were affirmed in that as well. So I'm opening this up to you as a congregation for a two-week period to hear your counsel, just a verbal counsel to me, or if you want to give a written counsel, you may, to Eric Marshall as well. We'd like to hear your counsel, your affirmation. If you'd like to just go to Brian and Renee and affirm them in that, feel free to do that. But we're opening up a two-week time for you to give your counsel. And then after that period is closed, affirmation ballots will be sent out. So that is what is taking place. So I'd like to invite you to stand for the closing benediction. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may, with one voice, glorify God and Father our Lord, Jesus Christ. God bless you. You are dismissed. Go in peace.